Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to that FISA debate. Remember a few years ago, if you don't know what this issue is, the New York Times revealed that President Bush had authorized wiretaps and other surveillance of electronic communication in this country without a warrant. Warrants were required by Congress in the 70s after the abuses of the Nixon administration. The new law at that time was called FISA, or the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Well, the Senate is expected to pass a controversial revision of FISA today. Supporters say it protects civil liberties while updating surveillance for the post-9/11 era. Critics say it just legalizes President Bush's lawbreaking and wrongly gives immunity from lawsuits to the phone companies that cooperated without a warrant. Senator Obama is in the crosshairs on this, for once saying he would filibuster any new FISA bill with immunity for the telecoms. He said that on October 23rd of last year, by the way. We have the written release. And he says now he will vote for the bill for the progress that it makes in other areas. Senator McCain is also for it. Let's get two views. Nancy Soderbergh was a top national security official in the Clinton administration and ambassador to the UN, also the author of a new book called The Prosperity Agenda. She supports the bill. Glenn Greenwald is a former civil and constitutional law litigator and author of the books How Would a Patriot Act and A Tragic Legacy. He has an op-ed on Salon.com this week opposing the bill. And we're trying to get Glenn Greenwald up. We have Nancy Soderbergh. Nancy Soderbergh, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you so much. Nice to have you.
So as a Democrat concerned about balancing security and civil liberties, why do you support this bill?
Well, it's a tough call, as Senator Obama said, but I think in an era where we need the cooperation of the telecommunications companies to be able to gather intelligence, we do need to have a new set of rules of how to cooperate with these, and this bill does that. What the bill does is essentially say that the president has to go to court. He doesn't have the right to do wireless wiretapping. There is an exemption for in exceptional cases, but they still have to go back within a week and get it. The controversial part of this bill is that the telecommunications companies who did cooperate with the president's directives after 9/11 would not be liable to being sued under this new bill if they can prove that the president, in effect, ordered them to do it. And that's what civil libertarians, rightly so, have a lot of concerns about. But when you balance it from the national security, it's a tough call. But I think the Senate and the House will get it right.
Let me unpack that a little bit. Did you just say that the telephone companies will have immunity from lawsuits if they can prove that the president ordered them to do it, as opposed to the president asked them to do it and they did it voluntarily? Is that the distinction you're making?
Well, I think that what they're relying on is some directives that the president put forward after 9/11, which we now know went well beyond the president's authority. The correct target, in my view, here is President Bush, who thinks he's an imperial president who can run around and ignore the courts and abuse the rights of American citizens, which he clearly did after 9/11. That is the right target, not the telecommunications companies who followed their orders. What they did was have a presidential directive telling the companies that they needed to cooperate with this, along with a letter from the Attorney General saying that it was legal. And the debate is that the companies that cooperated should have known that that was going well beyond the bounds. And I think you can debate that for history, but going forward, the communications companies need some kind of certainty that when the White House says, we need your help in this, they don't have to debate it for months with their own lawyers and whether or not it's legal or not, that there's some kind of balance there. And it's a very tough call. My heart's very much with the civil libertarians who are concerned about the abuses of this president, which there are many. And I think that when this is all said and done, it will be very clear that what the president did on this issue was well beyond his authority. But the target is the president in this case, in my view, not the companies.
We're having some telecommunications problems of our own getting Glenn Greenwald up, who's supposed to argue the other side here. I don't know.
Well,
maybe
he's been, for those of you who are online, you can look. It's been a very lively challenge to some of my statements online by him, and my hat's off to him. They're very feisty debate going on these issues, and the real passions on both sides, and I certainly can understand the passions. I mean, this is a country that has seen, you know, horrible events of 9/11 and then an abusive president who clearly abused his powers and his authorities, and the pendulum is swinging back now, and Congress is pushing back on the president's authority on this issue, very clearly rejecting the president's claim that he did not need that he needed a warrant to do these types of eavesdropping.
Maybe the phone companies are jamming Glenn Greenwald's lines. They don't want his voice out there.
Well, I'm sorry he's not on, because I'd love a chance to talk to him directly, because there's been a quite a bit of traffic online. So
well, I see some. Well, I still think we're going to get him. I see some dialing that's continuing to go on and redialing. So I don't know exactly what the problem is. But one of the things that Glenn said in his post on Salon.com this week, so let me bring this up directly, is that there's an amendment that's going to come to the Senate floor today that he thinks would be the real compromise on this telecoms issue, offered by New Mexico Senator Jeff Bingaman. And that would have the Congress wait until an investigation is completed before conferring immunity on anyone. Now, the bill, to its credit, does require, as I understand it, an inspector general investigation of what exactly really happened here. So Glenn Greenwald's point is, let's wait to find out what people actually did before granting them any immunity. Why doesn't that make sense?
Well, I don't have any objection to that. I don't think there are the votes in the Senate to pass that. I think if there's further investigation needed, that's certainly something I would not object to at all. I think it has been fairly well investigated. The Senate Select Intelligence on Committee has looked into this quite a bit and found that, in fact, the president did order these companies to do it. An executive order went out, a presidential directive, rather, as well as letters from the attorney general stating that, in his view, it was legal. Clearly, those issues overstepped their bounds. And I think that going forward, this is not an issue that's on hold. I mean, we're in the middle of a war on terrorism. We're in the middle of trying to collect intelligence to prevent attacks here, which does not give the president the authority to abuse the citizens, but it does mean that we need to set the rules now and set them clearly going forward.
Now we have Glenn Greenwald with us, in addition to Nancy Soderberg. Glenn, welcome to WNYC. I'm not sure what the problem was, but I'm glad we have you now.
Great to be here. Thank you.
So we were just talking about your call on Salon.com for the Democrats to hold off on this unless the Bingaman Amendment is passed. They don't have the votes right now. And if I have your idea correctly, the point being that we don't know what the telecoms actually did. We don't even know what President Bush actually did. And you want this Inspector General's report to be concluded so at least Congress can decide whether to confer immunity, knowing what possible crimes were actually committed. Is that a central issue to you?
Right. I mean, there's several aspects to why immunity is such a corrupt proposal. We're a country that imprisons more citizens than any other country in the world. We have a very harsh criminal justice system, and yet here are telecoms that broke the law deliberately for years. They committed felonies under the law, and Congress is about to act in order to immunize them and say that they don't need to go to a court of law like anybody else and be held accountable. But what's more striking about it is the fact that it would be one thing if we knew what the telecoms did and then said, well, even though they broke the law, they did it for good reasons, and therefore we're going to immunize them. That would still be corrupt, but that would at least be coherent. But what people like Nancy Soderberg and the entire political class are advocating is to say that we ought to immunize them, even though we have no idea what it is that they did. You know, last year, James Comey testified before the Senate that the spying activities that they discovered the Bush administration engaging in were so severe, so unconscionable, so patently illegal, that the entire top level of the Bush Justice Department threatened to resign en masse unless it stopped immediately. We have no idea what those activities were, and the idea that we're going to immunize the people who broke our laws that way without even knowing what they did is truly extraordinary.
So you say that what this law would do, in effect, is to legalize President Bush's lawbreaking retroactively. Explain that.
Well, what it really does is it creates a two-tiered system of justice. I mean, what we learned in December of 2005 when the New York Times exposed what the president was doing, was that the president and the telecoms were doing exactly what the Fourth Amendment and the FISA law were designed to outlaw, and that is spying on our email communications, telephone calls, all sorts of computer communications without the warrants required by law. These are crimes punishable by 5 years in imprisonment for every offense. And yet what the Senate and the House, led by the Democrats, are about to do is to pass a law to say the only avenue that's left for a court to rule on what happened, which is the telecom lawsuits, are going to be struck down, terminated, abolished without any resolution. And they're going to put into place a surveillance system that completely overhauls the protections that we've had for the last 30 years and allows vast new warrantless eavesdropping on international calls where the government, for the first time ever, can tap into the physical infrastructure within the United States that has our emails and telephone calls and listen in without having to go to a court and prove probable cause. I mean, it's extraordinary that they're retroactively protecting the lawbreakers and legalizing most of the activities that Bush had ordered that caused this scandal in the first place. And what it's really doing is it's the Washington elite on a bipartisan basis doing what they always do when high government officials break the law, and that is they pass laws to protect themselves because they think that the law doesn't apply to them. It only applies to common Americans, and that's the real danger.
We'll put some of you on the air on the phone at 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. If you want to get in on the FISA debate, 646-778-3729 for former trial lawyer and author Glenn Greenwald and former Clinton national security official Nancy Soderbergh, 646-778-3729, or, of course, post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll get to your calls in a minute. I just want you to engage a little bit. Glenn, I'll throw one more question to you to start this off since Nancy got the first few minutes. She said that we don't have to wait for the Inspector General's report to know what was done. Pretty much we know what was done. And it was really on the president for ordering the telecoms to hand over this information and with the Attorney General's written opinion to them that this was going to be legal. So it shouldn't be on the telecoms. It should be on the president. And enough is known about that already. You want to react to that?
Yeah, she's just wrong, and that claim is absolutely false. First of all, the laws that we have in place, the FISA law, is not a law that is directed only at the government. It is, the purpose of it is to restrict what the telecoms did. These laws grew out of the discoveries in the mid-1970s by the Church Committee that our government for decades had been spying on Americans for all sorts of improper purposes. Western Union was handing over telegraphs to the government en masse. AT&T and other telephone companies were allowing the government access to communications. And this law was specifically aimed at telecoms. And it said that you are not permitted in our country to allow the government access to the communications of your customers unless they either have a warrant from a court or you have a certification from the Attorney General that no warrant is required. The telecoms helped write the law. They knew exactly what it said, and they chose to break the law here. FISA and the other privacy laws are aimed every bit as much at the telecoms as they are at the government. And so what the telecoms did here is purposely break our laws for years. And to say that they shouldn't be held accountable is to say that you simply don't believe in the rule of law. And, you know, the other thing that I would say is if Nancy Soderbergh wants to claim here that she knows what the telecoms did, then I would like her to describe what it was that James Comey and John Ashcroft were so upset about and threatened to resign over when in 2004 they discovered that the laws were being broken. I've never heard anybody say what it is that the telecoms were doing, but if she says she knows, I'd love to hear what it was that they did.
Nancy Soderbergh, go ahead.
Well, what everyone's so upset about is that the president believed he was an imperial president, didn't need to follow the law, and could surveil American citizens without a warrant. And the telecoms went along with warrantless wiretapping against the Constitution, against our laws, and I think that the Senate Select Intelligence Committee has made it pretty clear what happened. What this bill does is recognize very clearly that the president overstepped his authority there, that he should not have ordered the telecommunications to do it. He directed them to do so, with the Attorney General saying it was lawful. The companies, whether they knew exactly what the line was in the post 9/11 era is certainly debatable, and civil libertarians, myself included, are angry about that. But the question is, going forward, what's the right balance here between lawsuits and trying to have a spying program that works? And this is where it's a tough call. That's where certainly the candidates are struggling with this as well. Ultimately, Obama has endorsed this for the very reason that you need to recognize that the president overstepped his bounds, and the telecommunications companies were wrong to go along with that. But the question is, going forward, what is it? What this bill does is that if the courts determine that these companies were directed by the president with the cover of Attorney General, both of whom were clearly overstepping their bounds, that they would not be prosecuted for those actions. But what the bill also does is say that it is not okay to do that ever again. They have to get a warrant for any kind of spying. There's a provision that gives them 7 days if they are in a hurry to do it, which I cannot particularly imagine a case where that would be justified myself. But they have a little bit of wiggle room on that. I would perhaps not have had that in there.
So, Glenn Greenwald, do you at least agree that this bill does protect our Fourth Amendment rights going forward?
It clearly rejects what the president did.
Glenn?
So, I mean, you need to read the bill.
Glenn, do you agree?
No. That is absolutely ludicrous, and this is the kind of misinformation being spread about this bill. This bill does the opposite of protect the Fourth Amendment. We already have a law in place. It's called FISA, and that bill says already that the president can only spy on Americans by going to the court and getting a warrant, and that the law, that law is the exclusive means by which he can spy. That's what the law already says. This new, if that's all that the Congress wanted to do, they wouldn't need to pass a new law. The purpose of this new law is to give the president and the NSA the ability to spy on huge amounts of our communication without going to the FISA court to get an individual warrant. That is the whole purpose of this controversy in the first place. It's why Bush and Cheney want a new law. What this bill says is the president and the NSA can now tap into our physical infrastructure, the email servers and telecom rooms, such as the one in San Francisco that AT&T turned over to the government that has every call going through it, and do vacuum cleaner searches on calls as long as it's aimed at a target outside of the United States, and no individual warrant is required. All they have to do is show the FISA court the procedures they're using.
No individual warrant aimed at an individual suspect. So, Nancy Soderbergh, do you disagree with that fact?
He's talking about on foreigners. It is very clear that it's not legal to do that on Americans. And I think what this bill does is clarify some, you know, the FISA bills were written in the 1970s, so it's updating them a little bit. Or quite a bit on some of the new technology that's out there, but I just disagree with Glenn, and I've been reading the web. You missed the beginning of the show, Glenn, but I've been reading this lively debate on the web, and I think the Americans are right to be outraged what this president did. There's no question that he overstepped the bounds. This bill makes it clear that you have to have a warrant, and they tried to do these wiretaps. They did do these wiretaps without a warrant. What this bill very clearly says is, when it comes to American citizens, you have to have a warrant. For foreigners, it's different. I don't think you need to have, you know, we do have the right to go, and frankly, everybody does it. All the other countries do it as well. Not that everyone does it makes it justified, but in terms of protecting national security, the government and most governments around the world do try and use telecommunications to gather intelligence, but this bill makes it very clear it is not permitted.
Right. We'll continue in a minute. We'll take some phone calls. We'll talk about the Obama angle on this with Glenn Greenwald and Nancy Soderbergh. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we debate the FISA bill coming before the Senate today, including the immunity for the telephone companies who participated in President Bush's surveillance program. My guest, Nancy Soderbergh, who supports the bill, who was a national security official in the Clinton administration and UN ambassador then, and Glenn Greenwald, who posted vociferously against this on Salon.com and has authored books, including What Would a Patriot Do, or is it How Would a Patriot Act? And let us take a phone call. This is a Professor Hodge calling from the Criminal Justice Department of what?
Nassau Community
College. Nassau Community College. Okay, right to your point, because we only have a few minutes.
Yes. If you isolate and only look at the liability of the telephone companies, not what anyone else might have done wrong or not, isn't this a preliminary step and they're only talking civil liability of the telecoms as opposed to criminal liability?
Civil liability, Glenn Greenwald, that's exactly what you're talking about, right?
Right. The point is that the president has the power to pardon everybody involved in this program for criminal liability and likely will on his way out the door. That's one of the reasons why the telecoms only are interested in civil liability, because this is the last remaining avenue for finding out what it is that they and the president did.
That's now, you know, you're a former trial lawyer. We had a guest from the Wall Street Journal editorial page yesterday who said the Democrats originally opposed this immunity because the trial lawyers lobbied them hard so you could get at the phone company's deep pockets. Should we be suspicious of trial lawyers promoting lawsuits?
The people behind this lawsuit are the Electronic Frontier Foundation and the ACLU, who are filled with lawyers who work for nonprofit organizations and make a tiny fraction of what any of them could make if they went to the private sector. These are people who are motivated by everything except for money, which is why they're at these organizations. The real lobbyist money comes from AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, that pours into the coffers of Democrats and Republicans in Congress, and that's why, you know, Nancy Soderbergh keeps saying, oh, well, they overstepped their bounds here. That's Washington speak, where they broke the law.
Jim.
And that's how they're able to get Congress to do something extraordinary, like pass a bill to protect them when they break the law because
Jim.
Of all that lobbyist money.
Jim in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jim.
Hi. I've just been listening for quite a while to Ms. Soderbergh's remarks, and I just it's very distressing as a lifelong Democrat because it really illustrates my frustration with this party. I mean, forgive me, but you know, there's always this talking out of two sides of the mouth at once. On the one hand, Bush overstepped his bounds; what he did was clearly wrong. People are alarmed, et cetera, et cetera. But in the end, we'll go along with it, and we'll give them retroactive immunity anyway because, you know, it's a national security issue, and we're worried about an election year. You know, it's just this triangularization that goes on with the Democrats. They just never seem to stand up for once on principle and go, you know what, this is wrong. We're going to find out what happened, and we're not going to act on it.
So, Nancy, as Jim's – and Jim, thank you. Jim, as Jim's comments relate to Senator Obama – now progressives might be disillusioned about the candidate they thought was reinventing politics. He issued a very direct, simple statement on October 23rd that said if telecom immunity was in the bill, he would filibuster it. Now he's not only not filibustering it, he's voting for it. And Republicans might say, see, he's just another calculating politician. Why wouldn't that chart stick in light of these changes?
Well, I think the bill has changed, and he's explained that. I think the larger question that the caller was making is why don't the Democrats do more against this president when he's so clearly broken the law? And, Glenn, I will very clearly say he broke the law. I did so in my article as well. I don't have to use Washington speak for that. This is a president who conducted himself as an imperial president, stepped on the rights of Americans, and this law is a way to say that is not okay. You have to get a warrant for these for any kind of wiretapping against American citizens. The question of why you don't go after the telecoms for doing that is a tough one. And Obama recognizes it's a tough one. I've recognized it's a tough one. The Congress is struggling with that right now.
We just
That's
have a minute
different
left.
Than the president.
We just have what? A minute left. Glenn Greenwald, your take on Obama through all of this?
Well, Obama just completely broke his promise when he was trying to get the Democratic nomination. He repeatedly vowed to filibuster any bill that had telecom immunity in it. He said continuously, the FISA court works. We don't need to do warrantless eavesdropping. The minute he gets the Democratic nomination, what does he do? He turns around and does the opposite. He says, I think I'm going to support a bill that ends all lawsuits into Bush lawbreaking, and I'm going to institutionalize and legalize this warrantless wiretapping scheme. It's completely indefensible.
15 seconds. You both agree that the president broke the law. Can the president be held accountable in any way? Nancy Soderbergh.
He absolutely should be held accountable.
How?
And I think the Congress could impeach him and try and get him to have to, you know, stand up for how he's broken the law from Iraq on down. I mean, this is a president that's ruined this country on many levels.
Glenn Greenwald, 10 seconds. Same question.
The only way the president would have been held accountable is by allowing these lawsuits to proceed, find out what happened, and get a court ruling that it was illegal. And the Democrats in Congress are now putting an end to the only hope for holding him accountable.
Glenn Greenwald and Nancy Soderbergh, thank you very much for this debate. The Senate is expected to vote momentarily.